Well, this is now the third talk in our series from Proverbs, and so far I hope that we've seen that one of the main themes that's coming out from this book is that in God's world, because it's God's world, we need to look ahead, because our choices have consequences. And what we need, Proverbs tells us, is wisdom. Because wisdom is rooted in a worshipping relationship with God and gives us the ability to see ahead of where our choices will lead us. And it's discipline that enables us to put off choices or to make different choices because we see that some choices will lead us towards disaster. And that even though we might be foregoing pleasure now or good things now, we'll say no to them, because later on it will produce disaster. And our culture so often encourages us to try and live on impulse with a strap line of just do it. But it's wisdom that says don't just do it, think ahead. And it's discipline that enables us to take the steps we need to say, well, don't just do it. And I think that the area of life that is probably the easiest for us to live on impulse without thinking about the consequences. The area is sexual relationships. Because the forces of sexual attraction and the forces of the sexual drive are so very powerful. The present heady moment means that we just do not think of what the future may hold. And although that we think ahead, we just think, well, that can be for later, because now the moment is so wonderful and powerfully attractive. Relationships are an area for potential disaster and where we can be most stupid. And so in this book that tells us to think ahead, we may expect it to tell us things about sexual relationships, and indeed it does. And of course, the overriding thing it says to us is, think ahead. Well, it's chapter 5. This is one part of Proverbs that tells us about sexual relationships. And in thinking ahead, what does it say? First of all, it says, watch your words. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. The context is adultery. This is addressed to young men. And the warning is about emotionally charged and emotionally intimate words that lead to disaster. Words of flattery, words of warmth, words of love even, but are all leading to disaster. And what Proverbs is pointing out quite simply here is that before the actual sexual act itself, there are prior loads of steps that people take. And one of those steps are careless words, words that are not wise, words that are suggestive and emotionally charged, words that make us feel good, maybe fill a gap in our lives that no one else is speaking to us. They make us feel good about ourselves. But words that ultimately might lead to disaster. And people may say, well, hang on, technically, there's nothing wrong with these words. Well, technically, there may not be anything wrong with the words themselves. But wisdom asks, where is it leading? So you can think of an application quite easily, can't we? You know, the office flirtation seems so harmless. But where's it leading? Wisdom asks, where's it going? Where's it going? The writer says, nip it in the bud. Look at verse 2 again. These words, pay attention to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. That's wisdom. Your lips must have discretion about them and also have words that think about the future. Where's it going? Nip it in the bud. Look where it may lead. Verse 4. In the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. What started off as honey, sweet and wonderful, down the road, it becomes very bitter and it turns all really nasty and horrible. Even, look, double-edged sword. What was so soothing has now almost become murderous. So you see, verse 4 is down the road. Think about where it's going to lead. What seems so lovely now could be so bitter in the weeks, months, years to come. What's delicious has turned into something disgusting. And look, look, it won't be any life at all. Verse 5 and 6, her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. You see what happens? There's no life at all. It goes straight to death. Death of your life. Maybe in terms of conscience, but certainly in terms of judgment. The God who is gazing upon our lives goes straight to death. And she gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked. There's no self-awareness. No thought to life. She knows it not. So you see, what happens is that people burst into something, not knowing where it's going to lead. Not knowing or seeing is going to lead to disaster. All because of mere words. That's why Proverbs says, think ahead. How wise. Think ahead. Watch your words. Well, secondly, Proverbs says, stay away. Look at verse 7 and 8. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. In the heat of the kitchen, very, very few people make heroically moral choices. The feelings and the situation are just too much, too powerful. People do not make the right choices when they're staring their temptations in the face. Our temptations will win every time. And so our writer says, do not go there. You see, the Bible does not say that when we become a Christian, something happens to our sexual nature, that suddenly a little thing in us switches off and we're not sexual anymore. Of course we are. All human beings are sexual beings. And there are places and people we should not go to because we know the temptations will be too much. And this is the point. You know, we're not being cowards by not going there. We're being wise because we know we can't handle it. So where is it that you should stay away from? Who is it you should stay away from? When you're traveling alone, are there places or things you should stay away from? For some people, it's to stay away from the internet. These days, people surf the internet, and they get to all sorts of problems with themselves because of that. Some people know they should not stay late and work with that person. Stay away, because it leads to disaster. You know, when the nice dinner, the low lights, the soft music, the seductive clothing, it's all too much. And so there, look, verse 8, keep a path from her. Do not even go near the door of her house, because if you do, you won't be able to handle it. And it's interesting as well here that our writer is not saying, do not get involved with this because, by the way, it won't be very pleasurable. Absolutely not. Because if our writer said that, someone may put their hand up and say, well, actually, it is very pleasurable. That's not the point. And in the short term, it may well be, of course. But it's the consequences. It's the disaster down the road that our writer is warning us about. And look at the disaster. Look. Keep away from the door of the house. Verse 9, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. There's a sense there of your life flowing away from you. I mean, in one way, it may well be that verse 9, that last bit, your years to one who is cruel. There may be a suggestion there of blackmail, somebody having something over you. And also in verse 10, there's a sense where of you having to give your wealth towards another person, another person's household. Keeping another woman in this context here. Or another context, keeping another man. Your life will not be your own, says the writer of Proverbs. You'll be living trapped in something you'll find absolutely so difficult to get out of. That's the point. Very difficult to escape. And then there'll be regrets. Verse 11. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors, but it's too late. Looking back, regrets. If only I could have seen where this was going, I wouldn't have done it. But it's too late. And it also changes every relationship we have. Verse 14. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. All relationships will change. Yes, if people know, of course, but even in hiding, all relationships change because there are things that we keep from others. So stay away. Nip it in the bud. Don't even let the bud start forming, because once it's started, it is very, very difficult to escape, and you're on a sure road to real disaster. Some years ago, I had a person who came to see me who was in a wrong sexual relationship. And it was wrong, but in many ways it was an answer to their loneliness, to their lack of love in their lives. But they could see what was going to happen as things unfold. But it was so difficult for them to make that cut in that relationship. I saw this person over 3 years. And every time we tried to come across and said, you've got to say no. And then with fresh resolve, they'd go round to see this person and to say no. It's got to stop. But every time they went round, well, of course, they couldn't stop it. Went on for 3 years. And I try to show them different verses of the Bible that might help. And one of the ones which seems so brutal, but Jesus puts his finger on the whole problem, is Matthew chapter 5. Even turn to it. Matthew chapter 5, he says this, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. You see, what Jesus is saying there is we've got to amputate and not negotiate. You've got to actually cut that relationship. If you wait for your feelings to come round, you wait to negotiate with how things are, you'll lose every time. There comes a moment where it's very painful, but you have to say no. And I'm glad to say this person did, in the end, say no. It was very painful for that person, but they did. We can so easily get trapped. Watch your words. Stay away. And thirdly, be content. Look at verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. This is about where you invest yourself. And there are some things you should not share with other people, and that's your intimacy until you are married. And then once you're married, you share your intimacy with your wife or your husband. And one thing you must not do, says our writer of Proverbs, is just let your emotional energies just be sprinkled everywhere, because that's a sure way of getting into trouble. There are some things that are private and exclusive. There are some things that you must not just share with anybody. But while you're single, with yourself, and then later if you get married. That's the point there. There are some things we must not just dish out to other people. That's why watch your words. That's why stay away until we ourselves are married. And, yeah, explicitly sexual, this part of Proverbs.
chapter 17, then goes on to chapter 18. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Contentment, enjoyment, being captivated by the one that you've married from the beginning. The Bible, of course, is very positive about sex. Of course it is. God has given us sex. Very positive. In the right context. And it's the context that matters. We must be content with what God has given us. What's God given you in your life? You must be content with that. And remember that our culture works so much on discontentment. Try to undermine contentment. Contentment in our world, in our culture, seems to be so dull and so boring and so static. Just your mobile phone. Car phone warehouse. Are you embarrassed about your phone? Do you know, remember that advert? A little paper bag over the mobile phone you're so embarrassed about. You know, just you suddenly, that phone you're very happy with, suddenly you're not so happy with. What about your car, the clothes, your figure, your spouse? Undermining contentment. Looking for something else or someone else over the fence. Contentment in our culture is seen as static and boring. In Proverbs, because it's God's world, contentment is the key to thriving. So verse 20, why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? Why go down that road when it leads to disaster? Do you have the wisdom to see where it will lead? Because there are consequences. And this is where you need wisdom to see what the consequences are. Verse 21. A man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. We live our lives under the gaze of the God who is there. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, knowing that he watches and he sees our lives. It's folly to think that we can live our lives hiding from him. That's where wisdom starts. Our paths are examined by the God who is there. Also, verse 22, our sin traps us. Whichever way you turn, there's pain once you get into this. Verse 22, the evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. There's a kind of knot that if you pull the string, it gets tighter and tighter. And what our writer is describing there is someone who's trapped. But down the road, whichever way you turn, there's going to be pain. Pain to say no, or pain because you're going to carry on and reap the whirlwind. But the responsibility is ours. Verse 23, he will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. The lack of discipline, the refusal to take the steps of saying no. So there we have it. Resolve now, says Proverbs. Watch your words. Stay away and be content. Be disciplined now. And in speaking about this, it wouldn't be right to finish without saying this, that if it is the case that you know that you've gone too far in this very area of your life, and you know that you need to take a courageous step to say no to something, may I encourage you to do that, to take that step, to watch out for the disaster that you may well be heading to. If you need help, well, there is help. There is help. There's confidential help. But be wise. Be wise living in God's world to see ahead, to see where it's leading. Proverbs says, watch your words. Stay away. Be content. Let's live wisely in God's world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your wisdom that casts its light into our lives, every nook and cranny. We ask that through the power of your Spirit, you may give us the courage to live according to your plan for our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.